and everything, that it isn't just the Sunday before Super Bowl Sunday or the Sunday before Valentine's Day, the Sunday before Ash Wednesday it is, but it's Transfiguration, that time where Jesus glowed. It's the basic way to look at it, but we're going to talk more about it. And we're going to start with dazzling white clothes. This is from grandparents.com. Ways to get white clothes whiter. Separate your colors. These things we know, right? Don't use too much detergent. Consider optical whiteners, bluing agents. I need to know, who uses Mrs. Stewart's still? Anyone, when you're doing laundry, uses Mrs. Stewart's? It was the bluing agent of the day, and it's still available. You use a little bottle, yeah, just a little bit. Dry clothes on low heat. Only use bleach on cotton. Try lemon juice or vinegar. Add borax. And try automatic dishwashing detergent. Way to get white clothes whiter. Also, hydrogen peroxide and Dawn mixtures for collars and underarms to get those things. You didn't know you were getting a laundry lesson today. I wonder, who still does their own laundry? Okay. Anybody send everything out to get done? I have all my shirts dry cleaned. I do my laundry, but anyway, in this morning's Bible reading, Jesus went up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And when they were up there, Jesus didn't get a new dazzling outfit. His clothes just became dazzling white, like no kind of cleaning method could ever make it. And what did it mean? Moses' face glowed after he was in the God cloud on the mountain. The people recognized it as holy. Miriam, Moses' sister, glowed after she encountered God in or near the God cloud, and the people said she had leprosy. Did Peter remember both of those? I don't think Peter really had any idea. He wasn't remembering anything. I think he saw the dazzling Jesus, and the first thing that he could think of was something that didn't sound completely off. He said, "This is good. Let me help everyone feel at home." I love that Peter's first thought, in a situation that was unnerving, surprising, and terrifying, it was about hospitality. It wasn't his mountain, and he wasn't showing any kind of, "I'm glad you're at my place, now let me be the one to welcome you," power. You know how sometimes we use welcome as power? This is my place. I'm glad you're here. Instead of y'all. That's what the church is. The church is y'all. It's not a power welcome, it's y'all. Peter was simply responding with his gut. And when he couldn't think of anything else, the wiring took over and he offered hospitality. Wiring. When Jesus stood on the mountain with Elijah, Moses, Peter, James, and John, he glowed, he dazzled, and a cloud overshadowed all of them, and there was a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Do you know any people who seem to have the wiring to hear God's voice? Sometimes we hear someone say that, we're like, "Wait, really?" I do know this one person. They've told me that when they pray, they can look and see Jesus sitting in a chair next to them, and they have a conversation. And they've asked me, "Do you think that's possible?" And instead of answering yes or no, I answered with a question. "What do you talk about?" "Just stuff, nothing huge." And I say, "I think that's great. Keep talking. If he ever tells you to do something that you know is harmful to you or to anyone, then it's not Jesus. But I think it's great that when you pray, you see Jesus and have a conversation." I know another person. They tell me that they see things. These are real people. I'm not just making up stories. I know people that are like this sometimes. When they say they see things, of course, I ask, "Well, what kinds of things?" "I don't know. I saw Jesus smiling over your shoulder. I've seen him laugh. I just see things. I sense when there is good, and I sense when there is evil." You probably think I'm not right, right? Does Jesus laugh when I tell a good joke? You don't ever tell a good joke. No, it's not like that. I just always have been able to see things that other people don't see. And I say the same thing. I think that's great. Keep looking. If you ever see something that is trying to communicate to you or do something that you know is harmful to you or anyone, then that's not Jesus. But I think it's great that you see things. It's just not the way that I'm wired. I know plenty of people who see and hear and experience things differently than I do. And my response is similar to each one. Keep looking, keep listening. Keep your eyes and your soul open. And if you ever experience communication that tells you to do something you know is harmful to you or someone else, that's not a voice to listen to. I'm thoroughly convinced that people are wired differently. Some people are more in tune with things most people don't hear or see. And I don't know how it all works, but I think that when Jesus glowed, the people that were there got some kind of wiring adjustments so they could hear God speak. And he told them to listen to Jesus. Listen. I know you probably won't see Jesus sitting in a chair next to you. I don't know if Jesus would have a favorite pew to sit in. Probably won't see or sense things that others don't. You might, but probably not. But you don't have to have special wiring to listen. Peter didn't know what was going on before he heard the voice, but his instinct was to show hospitality. It is good to be a people of hospitality. Jesus also gave us some pretty basic instructions. They're ones that inform any rules or actions we might take. They inform any voices we may hear or any visions we may see. They're more impressive and they're more important than any glowing face or dazzling garment. You probably remember them. Love God. Love everyone. Love. Listen to that voice. Amen.